Don't panic. For the next hour, let Steve and Paul talk you down from that ledge. They're the hosts who won't cop out when there's panic all about.
Tonight feels better. I feel better tonight.
Yeah.
I feel better. You look better.
I'm drunk.
You looked like shit the other night.
I felt like shit.
Welcome to the Don't Panic Radio Show. I'm Steve Benson, that's Paul Schultz, and nothing you're about to hear is true. The other day, the girls are like bored out of their minds. It was a weekend. I had already done the... I swear to God, I'm turning to my dad, because it's like my 9-year-old's like, I'm bored. I go, I see some dishes in that sink. She's like, I'm not bored anymore. And my 12-year-old's like, when are you going to learn not to tell grown-ups that you're bored? Anyway, I was like, come on, guys, you go find something to do. And I think it's good that you're bored. I mean, every kid should be bored at some point. So they go, they disappear for a few minutes, and they come back in with this giant box of Legos. It's like a Lego City or something. They're like, oh, we're going to do Legos. And I thought, oh, man, that's perfect. So they get, you know, they sit down on the floor, and they occupied themselves for like an hour and a half. I thought, man, that's like a parenting win, right? Mm-hmm. Later on, my 12-year-old's like, remember when we got those Legos out? Was, yeah, she goes, we got the like the little paper that's inside the Lego thing that shows what you can build. And it's like, we spent all this time figuring out what we were going to build, and we finally came to an agreement on the thing we were going to build. And you know, the last time we played with those Legos, we were both little kids. And she said, most of the pieces were missing. We couldn't build anything that was on that paper. And she goes, what is it about little kids? Little kids are always losing stuff. I know, right?
Yeah.
I said, I think I found every damn one that you lost, you know, at some point walking in the dark.
Yeah, 2 o'clock in the morning, you've walked through and found every single one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have two things here where, like, when my kids tell me they're bored, I'll, like, hand them the phone and tell them to call their grandpa.
Mm.
Because, you know, you never told dad. If dad found out you were bored, he'd make you weed the garden, you know.
Oh, geez. So, yeah.
So, the other thing is, the slogan we have around here is, only boring people are bored. So, it's like, when my 9-year-old says that, you know, yeah. I say, I'm bored. Only boring people are bored. It's like, they listen.
I think a certain amount of boredom is good, because it shows that they're not just constantly being fed the next thing. On the other hand,
yeah,
Mr. Katia in at Krieger, that was junior high for our new listeners. Kids would talk about, like, this is a whole different context of boredom, where they would say, we'd be reading, he was an English teacher, so we were reading either poetry or some literature or something, and people would be like, this is boring, and he would say, boredom lies not within the material, boredom lies within the person who is bored. So maybe you're not bored, maybe you're boring. Did I sound black?
I like that.
Because he was black. I liked him, man.
That's perfect. I like that.
He was like, what was that guy's name? Gates. The guy that went to the beer summit with Obama. That got lit up by a cop for tried to break into his own house. Something Gates.
I don't know. I know the story. I just don't know.
Anyway, it's how Mr. Carter like was how I would imagine taking a class from that Gates fellow would be. You have to realize that boredom lies not in the material. Boredom lies within the bored. And so maybe you're not bored. Maybe you're boring. I sound more and more like awesome. A Baptist minister. Maybe
I'm starting this. I'm starting to sweat, you know.
Lordy, lordy. You're starting to fan yourself with the program.
That's right. Oh, I'm getting ready to get up and do a few hymns.
Boredom lies not with the material. It lies with the bored. Like, you got a one-syllable word, he turns it into eight syllables.
You're getting kind of Jimmy Swaggered there.
Yeah.
I got the only boring people are bored from back in the 90s. There was this comic that I really liked, and the guy had a daughter, and one day she told him she was bored, and that's what he told her. And about just a couple years ago, through the miracle of Facebook, I ended up becoming Facebook friends with the guy, the writer, artist for that comic.
Oh, wow.
So I messaged him, and I'm like, you don't know how many times I've used that line on my kids. It's perfect. And he writes back, and he goes, so my dad used to tell me. So it all just came full circle.
Yeah, I was thinking about Legos and how they come the way they do now with the, here's this specific thing and all the parts and pieces to make this specific thing. When we had Legos, I just remember we'd get a Lego kit and you just had some Legos and then you figured out what to make from there. Maybe there would be like a car kit and it would have some wheels and things. But man, they got Legos now with like moving parts and you can build robots and...
It is insane,
yeah,
the articulation that they have. And like my son has a quite large Lego collection.
Hmm.
But what he does is after a while, he builds the build, but after a while he like starts, what do they call that? Cannibalizing pieces off of different things.
Uh-huh.
And comes up with these really great, tiny little articulated, cool things.
Mm-hmm.
And like he's got a Batmobile that he's made from scratch that is like it looks like it belongs on a box.
Sweet.
So that I think in a lot of ways people get jaded about Legos, but I'm like, no, you need to see my son's Legos. So I say make them as articulated and detailed as possible because that just gives him more room.
Yeah.
To do stuff with.
Hey, maybe we should ask our listeners about toys and what their favorite toys were when they were growing up.
Yeah, maybe be specific about that because...
when you were growing up, not now.
Not now. Hear
about any oscillating rabbits.
That's right. My favorite toy is my husband's emotions.
Oh, yes. Okay, let's make that the Facebook question of the week. What was your favorite toy growing up? Go.
We need a Facebook question of the week theme song.
Facebook question of the week. Wait, no, that's the headline song.
We need somebody just talented enough to do a little bit of like quick thinking and just like bang out like a Paul Schaefer kind of a thing whenever we need it.
Oh yeah, we need a Paul Schaefer.
It'll be like the same music, just with a couple different words to it.
How about it could be to the tune of Wake Up by Rage Against the Machine? No, wait a minute. It could be to the tune of What You Want by the Beastie Boys. Facebook question. No, that's not good. I don't like
doesn't
that.
Work.
That's Sure Shot. I don't know if that would
work. We could do the question by the Moody Blues, but because we have a lot of older listeners.
I'm not old enough to know what that is.
Why do we never get an answer when we ask a Facebook question? Do.
How about Arlo Guthrie, Alice's Restaurant? You could be like, you can find out anything you want. Just ask your Facebook question of the week. No, that's not good. Anyway, let's move on. Well, we'll talk about our favorite toys when we come back to this later in the show. But Tinker Toys has got to be up there. Tinker Toys, Hot Wheels, yeah. Whatever box shit came in.
Mm-hmm. That's still a thing. I still love playing in boxes.
Kids are in heaven these days now, man. We do less shopping at Target than we do on Amazon. So
I know
there's like a million boxes at any given point. Like if they just feel like playing with a box, it's like go out in the garage. There's like 100 of them out there.
Mm-hmm.
Which leads me to my point about this is funny. I was like, I say this to as many people as I can, and nobody thinks it's a good idea. But I swear to God, in 5 years, it's going to be a thing that everybody has. And it is and I'm just going to say it now on the air so that maybe one of our hundreds of listeners will invent it. It is a home cardboard box, crusher, baler, I don't know what you want to call it, but something that breaks down all the boxes and squeezes them together so it's manageable and you can put them out in the recycling or whatever. Because it's not going to get less. We're just going to get more and more boxes as time goes on, right?
Right.
So we need a way to deal with all these boxes. And so I finally, like my current project at the pharmaceutical, up at the drug plant is packaging pharmaceuticals. You know, putting the pills in the either the blister or the bottle, and then putting the bottles in the box and the folding the box up. And there's all these machines that do all this stuff, right? And they fold the box and they tape the box and they close it. So we have
you sound like Henry Hill at the end of Goodfellas. He's running around, gotta stir the sauce, go get the gun, take him over to his house, come back, stir the sauce.
Ray Liotta.
Yes.
Boy, what happened to Ray Liotta? Have you seen Shades of Blue or whatever that's called? Is that what it's called?
He suffers from that bloated actor syndrome.
Yeah.
That happens after like 50 with most actors.
Alec Baldwin had it, but he recovered from it. He like went from bloated actor back to, you know, not bad looking older gentleman.
I was watching my son has now started watching 30 Rock. Oh. And I was watching it with him the other day, and he was talking about what college did he go to? Do you remember what?
Did he go to Yale?
Was it Yale? He's like something about back in my day. I was in Yale. I was where I was voted most.
Most.
just most.
Just most. That's funny.
Well, I take my recycle. See what I do, like the cardboard.
Yeah.
Past couple of years, we've really scaled back on the amount of cardboard that we bring into the house, and I have a bin.
Well, you open your boxes outside, like
yes,
bring that cardboard in this house.
That's somebody else's problem. Let nature break it down. Yeah. No, I just don't buy as much. Like say, for instance, frozen stuff because it always comes in boxes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have this bin that I like put all our. I break it down and I put all our cardboard in it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've had that bin for the plan was once it's full, we take it over to my mom and dad's house because they have a big recycle bin that they can put it in, you know, and from there it goes to recycle heaven. Well, that was 2 years ago, and you can't move the box now. It's like next time we're gonna get a smaller bin to put the cardboard in. Because we can't move the box. It's so heavy.
We could do a whole show on recycling. I think what you do is you take it, you put it in your parents' recycle bin, which the company comes and picks up and takes to the landfill and dumps it in with all the other trash.
Yes. Or sells it to the Japs.
Right. I think recycling is the same thing as all of the TSA airport security stuff. It's theater to make us feel better.
Yeah, I think it is. I really do. I don't know.
It makes me feel good when I recycle. So we got these packaging engineers. There is a thing called packaging engineering. So they're engineers whose total focus is fucking boxes, right? So I'm at a meeting and we're like just waiting for other people to show up. And I was like, hey, you guys are packaging engineers. I have a question. And I lay out my thoughts on what do we do with all these damn boxes. And of course, everybody's first thing was, well, I just put them in the recycling. I'm like, yes, I know you put them in the recycling. That's not my point. My point is, what do you do with them between when you open the thing and the recycling guy comes to pick them up? I mean, they're just laying around, right? You break them down, and then in my town, you gotta string them up. Like you gotta flatten them out, and all. And they're like just looking at me like I'm from Mars. And I'm like, if you packaging engineers can't figure this out, there's no hope. And that, and they're just looking at me like, the way your mind works is beyond us. So I was like, okay, fine. And then I decided not to talk to them about artificial intelligence and virtual reality taking us to the moon.
And the warm touch of a woman.
Yes, exactly. A Lego woman.
Do you think like the packaging engineer guys, like when they go places or whatever, they sit around and like, hey, how big of a box do you think you need for that? Well, you know, and they bet on what measurement, and then they go measure it, and like the highlight of their Saturday night out, you know?
Could be, and that actually, you know what? I got to ask them about this, because I've always figured. I don't know if you ever get a tent, right? And you take the tent out of the bag, and it comes in a bag that's in a box. You take it out of the box, throw the box away. There's the bag and the tent. Take the tent out of the bag, you put it up, and you take it back down, and it will not fit back in the bag. And the reason is... It's the
same as a Christmas tree.
Right. The reason is there is some engineer whose job it is to make sure that bag is exactly the right size and no bigger. Why are you doing this to me? Charge me an extra 50 cents or a dollar. I don't care. Just make the bag a little bit bigger than it needs to be. So that...
Just a little wiggle
just
room.
Just a little. I don't need a lot. A few inches. So that it's easy to put the tent back. I'm going to ask these guys about that. And they'll probably look at me like I'm... Like I'm crazy.
they're like, yeah, that's gonna happen.
White people getting stranger all the time.
I bought like a 6.5 foot artificial tree this year, and for Christmas, and because there's other holidays you put trees up at. Well, mm-hmm. it was rectangular when it came into the house. It's kind of egg shaped now. It's like, how the hell? Who? how does the math work? I mean,
you know what'll happen? I'll bring this up to these guys, and I'll mention the Christmas tree example. I'll mention the tent example. It'll get real quiet in the room. One of them will pick up their phone and kind of while they'll still have their eyes on me, but they'll be kind of typing into their phone, and then they'll put the phone back down, and then they'll just sit there, and then like in 10 minutes. Dudes will rappel out of the ceiling and like throw me down onto the floor. Like they'll be like, hut, 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 get on the floor. It'll be like, whew, almost let one out into the wild. He figured That's out right. Too much.
Be like, or it'd be like much. Men in Black. They're like, here, let me get your picture.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Wait, why am I here?
The flashy thing. And then suddenly I'll go, oh yeah, those tents and Christmas trees. Yeah, it's good they bring it. They provide a bag that it fits back into. it'll be like the Rhett and Link episode where Link figured out that Rhett could, no, Link figured out that he could say exactly what Rhett was going to say at the same time that he was saying it. And once he figured out that he could do that, some guys came in and hauled him off and brought a replacement Link. Remember that one?
What show was that?
Oh, it's the Good Mythical Morning guys. Only it's the, you know, Rhett
and Link. Oh, I thought those names. Yeah, all right.
Only it was one of their short films.
See, I can never remember their names because usually when I watch it, it's like 6 o'clock in the morning and I'm like, one eye is stuck together and my kids are trying to call my attention to stuff and I'm just like, so I don't know. I make some kind of joke about the dude that has all the product in his beard and
yes.
Go get my coffee.
That's that thing about waking up. And what is it with people? They want to have the detailed conversation with you when you first wake up. It's like, it's just like, give me a minute. Let me think about it. I don't even know who I am right now, and I'm confused. I'm starting to get a little pissed off.
That's right. It's funny because a while back when I was working on getting my sleeping in some kind of manageable form, I had asked you and I asked a whole bunch of other people, adults, mind you, when do you feel like yourself? And the universal across-the-board answer was 10 a.m.
That's pretty good.
Well, it's a long fucking time. Between 6 o'clock in the morning when I wake up and 10 o'clock, that's a long time.
Yeah, it's like, that's true.
It's just so it's difficult. I'm trying to find matching socks for my daughter, and yeah. You know,
yep.
And where's the comb? Where's those little rubber things you put in their hair? You know, why are they always never in the drawer?
And did you eat anything? And I swear to God, man. And it's weird because yes, I feel like myself about 10 o'clock, and then about 2 o'clock, I feel like a zombie, and so. There's this narrow, yes. So I don't know. Do I feel like myself between 10 and 1, or is that some alternate reality, and myself really is this tired, like no energy, walking around, confused person?
Well, I posted a question a while back about, like, you know, or not a question, but it was just an observation on Facebook about how you know you're getting old when you look forward to a nap more than you look forward to going to bed.
Yeah.
And a buddy of mine's like, that's because naps rule.
Yeah, I love naps, man.
I mean, the Mexicans got it figured out. A siesta, for, you know, that's why they're always happy. They get a nap in the afternoon.
It's true.
Have you ever woke up sad? Well, Sinbad had that joke about the difference between being an adult and being a child is wanting to sleep.
It's true.
But I'll tack running onto that list because children run everywhere. Adults only run when they're ridiculous and want to run in a race or something. We don't run anywhere.
It's the weirdos, some kind of monster person that wants to run, unless something's on fire or there's something for free somewhere. So you're either running away from something or towards something, but not just running. That's ridiculous.
See, I think that goes back to when we were living in caves, because right. We were running from like the herd of mastodon or running towards the herd of mastodon with spears.
Yes.
Or running away from fire versus running to fire.
That's deep. All right. Well, we've covered a lot of ground here. Toys. Why run? Sleep. Okay. Well, let's take a little break. Maybe go to the bathroom.
Yeah, my drink's getting low.
Perhaps rub one out. And then when we come back, I got a few headlines that I think will spark some conversation. A national dialogue, if you will. All right. We'll be right back.
Never rat on your friends. and always keep your mouth shut.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster.
Hey, Mom, what do you think?
You look like a gangster.
I know I.
By the time I grew up, there was $30 billion a year in cargo moving through Idlewild Airport. Believe me, we tried to steal every bit of it.
What do you do?
I'm in construction.
He's not Jewish.
Mazel tov. Mazel
tov. For most of the guys, killing's got to be accepted.
Hey, Henry. Here's an arm.
Very funny, guys.
Here's a leg.
Here's a wing. What do you like, the leg or the wing? It's you.
For us to live any other way was nuts. And we were treated like movie stars with muscle. We had it all just for the asking.
It's gonna be a good summer.
It was a glorious time.
In a world that's powered by violence, on the streets where the violent have power, a new generation carries on an old tradition.
Welcome back to the Don't Panic Radio Show. How about some headlines? Headlines, check it and see. We're going to interpret them irresponsibly. Come on, baby, do read the article. They're headlines, headlines.
You're so close.
This first one comes from the BBC, and it is...
Hey, wait, what's that stand for?
Hang on a second. I think I have this written call down back somewhere. It is... Kale Gibb. The Pentagon is investigating a nude photo scandal. And then the headline has a picture with it, and it's this old dude, you know, with a Marine haircut. So I can't tell if he's bald or if he's blonde with a Marine haircut. But he's got that weird, the thing where the forehead looks like old man butt. It's like, dude got cellulite on his forehead. What's going on? But he was a Marine, and I thought, when I first read it, all I saw was Pentagon investigates nude photo scandal, and I thought, I don't want to see this guy nude. And then I remembered. It's irresponsibly interpreting the headline. I think it's about chicks.
I would hope so.
But I don't know how they got the... How do you suppose... So apparently there's this thing where the military, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, sometimes Coast Guard. You know, the Coast Guard's like the sometimes Y of the military.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like the Y in the bowel.
Poor Y. Poor Coast
Poor
Guard.
Poor Coast Guard.
And nobody ever mentions the Merchant Marine, even though more Merchant Marine were killed World War II than any other bunch of people. Except for... Russian civilians, I guess.
And the Japanese.
I don't think that many Japanese were killed. How many Japanese were killed in World War II? I don't think there was that many.
Well, how many died at Hiroshima? I mean, I'm sure there were like a million of them.
Hiroshima? You mean the atom bomb? Well, the initial blast was 90,000 maybe. And then following weeks, maybe another 50 or 60,000 died of cancer or acute radiation poisoning. It wasn't that many. More died. If you look at what they were doing, now I'm Carl. If you look at what happened, the atom bomb was actually a good thing for Japan. Okay, you can stop right there. Anyway, back to the nude photos. Apparently, there's some nude photos. Nude photos. That's not right. That's like an empty sack of potatoes. It's empty. It's not a sack of potatoes. It might be a sack that formerly contained potatoes. So like a nude photo. The photo's not nude. it's a depiction of a nude person in a photo. Probably a woman, because.
But in this day and age, is a nude photo really that big of a fucking thing? Everybody has them.
Well, that's a good point. And if any woman, unless, okay, so I don't know what the photos are of.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming that the people, and maybe this is a wrong assumption, if the women in the photos knew that they were being photographed.
Okay, yeah, right? If it's consensual, yeah.
Right. I'm like, oof, okay. It puts the military in a bad light, and maybe the Pentagon wants to do something about that. But as far as the women go, it's like, do you not know now that if you get your picture taken naked, it's going to end up on the internet? Do you not know that at this point? Now, if it was surreptitious, and it was like a, what was that? Miniature golf. What was that movie with the, where they, Spankies, Sparkies, you know, where they drilled the hole in the wall and they're looking in the shower. Porkies.
Porkies.
So if it's a porky situation where the males were, you know, surreptitiously taking photos of the females in various states of undress and during their nude pillow fights, which there is an expectation of privacy there. You know, if you're in the Marines and you're a chick and you're having a nude pillow fight with your girlfriends, as I imagine they probably do in their camo gear. The face paint, the camo face paint.
They put it on sexily, though. It's not just on there for, you know, it's on there for sex appeal.
Of course. And they've got, like, camouflage, negligee, and that kind of thing. Now, if that is what we're talking about, that's just wrong, and these dudes ought to be, I mean, I just, as much as I'd like to see those photos, it's just wrong. I'd be ashamed of myself for looking at them. And if you can find them, send them to me so I can look at them, and I'll definitely be ashamed of myself while looking at them.
Did I ever tell you that, I can't believe I never told you, so maybe I did and you don't remember, but did I ever tell you about when we were kids and you and me and Andy used to like go catting around? You know, we get into Fairmont and just drive like everywhere. Mm-hmm. We were, and it was here in La Porte actually. We pulled into like, I think it was like a Family Express or something, and like you and Andy went in to get like soda pops or whatever. And I'm sitting there because we weren't at a pump. We were like in the parking lot area,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't need anything, so I'm sitting in the car, and there's a house right next to the gas station, and on this house is a window, and it's night because we probably went to the movies and saw like I don't know what god awful prequel or sequel, and I looked over and there were these two young ladies in underwear hitting each other with pillows. And I'm just like,
kidding
me. I'm like Lou Costello. I'm like, you guys are like, I'm like, you guys have to come on. You have to come out and see this. This is a thing. It's like Bigfoot. And I'm just like, and it was like, by the time you guys got out and got in the car, they were done. And I'm like, they're never going to believe me.
The next headline, also from BBC, Hitler painting on show for first time at Italy Museum. Now see, we all knew Hitler was an artist, right?
That's what they say, yeah.
And so finally, I'm sure Hitler's like, about time. Jeez. It's like, if you guys had like put my stuff on display early in my life, I might not have been such a pissed off asshole.
You know, he's down there in Argentina living in squalor at like 113 years old.
Yeah.
And he's trying to figure out how he can get that check.
Yeah. He's like, that's right. That's what'll finally bring him out of hiding. That's what, that's why they did it. They're putting it up there,
right.
and they're going to sell it at auction or something.
And because what's the Nazi hunter team? What's that organization called? You know what I'm talking about?
There's I don't know what it's called. I know the one you're talking about. We talked about it on a previous show.
It didn't occur to them like, right. It didn't occur to them like 70 years ago to do this. They're like, let's do it now.
That's a funny thing about those World War II guys. Hitler, Churchill, they all ended up painting. Although Hitler did it earlier in his career. Churchill ended up doing it in his later years as a way to relax. But
oh, yeah, that's right. He did.
Yeah. And George W. Bush apparently is doing the same thing.
he's fucking finger painting.
He's painting. And he was interviewed by Jimmy Kimmel.
A paint by numbers don't count.
And they showed some of his paintings, and they're not bad.
Hey, you know who else was a painter?
Who?
Hitler.
So I think the lesson, kids, is just because you're a painter does not make you a good person. What makes you a good person is being a good person. Next headline. Book of Blank Pages is an Amazon bestseller. Okay, now it's interesting that this should make the headlines because I was just, you know, I mentioned to you that I'm working on a book, and so of course I've been researching, you know, how to go about this, and I had heard something that someone said, I think it was Jack Canfield said it in passing on a, you know, he's the guy that did the Chicken Soup for the Soul books. And he had mentioned something in passing about, quote, best-selling author. Because apparently there's a way to game Amazon to get yourself to get your book to be a bestseller in its category. And if you do that, Amazon will put the little tag that says bestseller next to your book. And I was like, that's interesting. Right. So I searched for that. I was like, how do people do that? And this one guy, the journalist, and he wrote a blog post about this. He said he decided to test this out. And so he took a picture of his foot. He went on Illustrator or Paint or something, some rudimentary software, made a book cover of a picture of his foot, called the book, Putting My Foot Down, and then underneath that it was, you know, a book about my foot, and then at the bottom it was like, buy my foot, and nothing else. That was it. That was the cover. All the pages were blank on the inside. he bought a copy. Well, he bought two copies, and he got one of his friends to buy a copy. So he sold three copies, and he looked for a category on Amazon that only had like two or three books in it and put that as the category. And sure enough, within a few hours, he was the bestseller in that category, right? And so I was like, well, that's interesting.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
And then I see this Book of Blank Pages is Amazon bestseller as a headline, and I thought, oh, those days are coming to a close. People are going to catch on pretty quick to that, you know. And Amazon will have to modify their practices somehow. You know, I don't know what they'll do.
Yeah.
But somehow they'll have to modify their practices so that you can't game the system like that anymore.
That's like the people back in the halcyon days of couponing that would buy, like, you know, so-and-so bought $375 worth of groceries, but with coupons, the store actually gave her $27.
Mm-hmm. So there's got to be a trick of figuring out what that next thing is before everybody else figures it out. I want to know who's in charge of that. Like, who's in charge of figuring out that part? All right. How about we check in with the Facebook question of the day?
All right. Sounds like a plan.
All right, then. We have, let's see, 48 minutes ago, And it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. 18 comments. So it's a slow night, apparently. People are probably out with their families.
It's Friday. They're out, you know, doing whatever whatever single people do on Friday nights.
Childless.
Or people without children. Yes, childless single people. I wouldn't be here. You'd be talking to yourself.
You'd be at the Liberal Tavern. So the question was, as a reminder, what was your favorite toy growing up? Go. Leslie White says, yellow Tonka toy dump truck. Oh, I had one of those.
Mm. Yep.
I loved my little Tonka toy
dump truck. You could sit on that fucking thing.
Oh, yeah. Jim Holland says, Evel Knievel. I had one of those, too. Oh, my God. I love that fucking thing. Sally Johnson says, couldn't
sit on that.
Well, you could.
Like you once
could explore, you know, that side of yourself. If you want. Sally Johnson says, Steve, I'm starting to think you are the writer of those drop down extra security questions for my bank.
I think we have a winner.
You know what I'm going to put? I'm going to put the picture of Morgan Freeman saying she's right, you know.
The one where he's pointing up.
Yes. Sally Johnson comes back with Brian Padrick, which is her husband, says the crank up Evel Knievel motorcycle, but that's not his security question. I love that crank up Evel Knievel thing. I had one of those. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Although knowing our financial situation growing up, I bet it wasn't really Evel Knievel. I bet it was like motorcycle stunt driver toy. SFJ says, this explains everything, : my Nintendo Entertainment System and Super Nintendo Entertainment System.
We should point out that Superfan James is like 22 years old.
Right.
And it does. It explains a lot.
Laura Kessner says, sleds, bikes, fishing poles. Fishing poles? What?
Make sure it's a question mark with an exclamation point. Fishing poles. What?
Fishing poles. What? Denny Utter says, Erector Set, Lincoln Logs, Bigfoot Board Game, Labyrinth, Electronic Game, Bike, Tonka Truck. Haley Ettinger says, must I choose one? Barbie, Rub-A-Dub Dolly, Shrinky Dinks, and Roller Skates.
Oh, the Rub-A-Dub Dolly. Good Lord. I think my sister had that.
Damn.
Yeah, that's funny.
Sharon Paddock, Spirograph.
Hmm.
I love that. Oh, that was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Denny Utter says his wife just got him one the other day, a Spirograph.
Yeah, they still make them.
Apparently. Denny Utter, oh, Viewmaster and Etch-A-Sketch.
Yeah.
My lovely bride says Weebles, Barbies, Matchbox Cars.
More Beck lyrics.
You know what I noticed? Because I had some Weebles when I was growing up.
Mm-hmm.
You could hit them, smack them, whatever, and they just wouldn't fall. They would not fall down.
They'd wobble.
Yeah, they did a lot of wobbling. That's true. That's true. Good point. They would do a lot of wobbling. Never fell down, though. Briar Horses, Marilyn Foster, who is my kid's equestrian coach. So that makes sense. Tammy Stevens, Barbies, Ryan Vinson, who just became my Facebook friend today, said toy guns. So there you go. Favorite toys.
So what then was your favorite toy growing up?
Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
Oh yeah. That's good one. A rock. That was my favorite toy because that's all I had to play with.
You mean the country?
No, I meant the wrestler.
Oh.
No. No, I didn't have an answer to you said Rock'em Sock'em, but I also had this one. Do you remember those? It was along similar lines to the Evel Knievel thing, but it would be the smash up derby cars.
Yeah,
I had the Batmobile.
Did you? Is it the one where you had that
like a ripcord?
It looks like a what are those things? Zip tie.
Yeah, like yeah.
Like a zip tie. Stick it in there, you go, and then it goes.
Yeah.
Those were awesome.
But for about 3 months, my absolute favorite toy was my $6 Million Man action figure.
Oh yeah.
I say 3 months because I got him for Christmas, and about 3 months later, my little brother and sister were arguing in the kitchen, and my mom had my Steve Austin in her hands and got so mad she slammed it down on the counter and busted his head off. And I saw his head just spiral through the air in slow motion, and I'm just like, if I would have known what the fuck meant, I'd have been like, what the fuck? Because I wasn't even involved in the argument. So after that he was gone. That was so for three I had 3 happy months as a child.
Did you pick up the head and the body and go, we can save him, we can make him better,
stronger, faster? And like my little brother told me, he heard taps playing in the background as I was burying him in the backyard. I took his head to school. Like me and Andy would use it like for a telescope, but yeah, no, that was probably my favorite toy, you know, somewhere between that and the smash up derby Batmobile.
I wonder if your brother and sister feel bad for making your mom that angry that day.
No, this is my brother Bud we're talking about.
I know, but I hold out hope that someday my daughters will feel bad for making me as angry as they do. I'm like, someday you're gonna feel like shit for pissing me off.
wait till they reach in the age where they realize how they can push your button.
Yeah, that's
because
possible.
my brother and I used to do it to my dad all the time, because when we were younger, my dad had no sense of humor. And the last thing you want to do to us is not have a sense of humor. So we would basically do everything in our power to just make him lose his shit. Because it was funny to us. But, you know.
I am sick.
And tired.
I don't remember anything else that day. Well, having said that. Oh. MP Cavalier.
Oh.
Matchbox cars.
Hmm.
Probably, knowing MP Cavalier, I bet it was like big Lincoln Continentals.
or it was like the Welcome Back Cotter, you know, hearse that had like the
I don't know. What are the hipsters driving these days?
Mini Coopers.
So it was probably Mini Coopers.
And Uber.
We almost got through an entire show without talking about MP Cavalier, and he comes in right under the wire.
That's right. And while on vacation, I might add.
Oh, yeah. What's he doing? How come he's not getting laid? What's he doing on Facebook? You should reply to his comment on my status and say, what are we doing on Facebook? Go have sex with your wife.
That's right. Well, maybe he's like recouping between.
Oh, it's his refractory period.
Yes, yes.
Got it. Got it. It's the second time I talked about factories tonight. It's his refactory period. That's what Donald Trump's doing to the U.S. I'm bringing back all the best jobs, all the factory jobs. I'm going to refactory this country. This is going to be the longest, most effective refactory period in the history of the United States.
You keep using that word.
Yeah. My presidency will be known as the refactory period.
what did they call it, like, right after the Civil War? What was the period?
Reconstruction.
Yeah, well, okay, so we got the Reconstruction and the refractory period.
The refractory period. This is my refractory period. That having been said, for Paul Schultz, I'm Steve Benson. Nothing you just heard was true.
Shit.